take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I'll ask now, of course, that we all settle in, only leave the service if it's an urgent matter. And might I ask also, if you do need to slip out to a washroom, if you'll use either the back door or the back side door, but let's not use this one right up here, and that way I'll be able to keep everybody's attention right this way. If you have a cell phone, make sure it's either on vibrate. Now, if it vibrates like a freight train, even turn off the vibration mechanism, but let's pay real close attention. Ladies, if your husband gets out of control in the service, you take him to the nursery, and that way we'll make sure that there's no interruptions. Proverbs chapter 3, I want you to find verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 3, find verse number 1. And then I want you to stand, and we'll all stand together now. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 3, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I'll read again to you verses 5 and 6 because it is they're the verses that will get us into the sermon. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Let me pray for us. Father, bless us now. Lord, you know the sermon. I pray, God, that you'll take it and use it. God, might we, each one as individuals, analyze ourselves a little bit today. Help us, Father, because we've been to church. Help us to be more stable Christians. Might we move up in our Christian life. Some here are anchored in, and they're not growing, and they're not moving. I pray, God, that today you would take the illustration that is unique and do a supernatural work in it, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat there, if you will, and look right this way. There is a sport. It's called rappelling. Now, if you join the military, many of you would have learned something about this thing called rappelling. A mountain climber would climb to the top of a mountain, and if they chose to come back down the side of the mountain that they climbed up, they would rappel down that mountain. And basically, what happens is if you're at the top of the mountain, you attach a rope, and then you have a harness on your body, and then you let yourself down the side of a mountain, or you let yourself down the side of a cliffed area. I want to talk to you about that for just a little while and use a story that I think will help to best illustrate what I want to teach you today. This rope that they use for rappelling, it's a special rope. It has a certain elasticity to it. It's not taut. You go to pull on it, it's got some give to it. And these ropes that they use to rappel, they're set up, or they're actually rated by the number of what they call falls that rope has encountered. You say, what's a fall? Well, if you're scaling down a mountain, you've got this harness on, you've got the rope. When you're scaling down, what they would do is they would kind of let loose of the rope a little bit, and they would begin to slide down, and then they would make themselves taut, that harness taut, and it would yank it like this. It'd bang on that rope, and they would stop for a moment. Now, every time they would stop for a moment, that's called a fall. Now, you must understand, let's say that a man weighs 250 pounds, and let's say he's coming down that rope. When he would yank on that rope for that fall, that's 250 pounds. With the help of a thing called gravity, you'd yank on that thing pretty hard. So they rate the rope on the basis of the number of falls that rope has experienced. And after a rope has had so many falls on it, they would do away with the rope and no longer use it. I mean, if you're 3,000 feet up and you're scaling or rappelling, and you don't want to be up there with a rope that's been all used up. You say, well, what's the deal? Well, they kind of figure after a while that rope can't take 250 pounds going like this with gravity on it. And so that's how they rate a rope that is made for rappelling. Now, there was a man one day, he was a Christian man. He was at the top of a peak of a mountain and he was going to rappel down. There were cliffs. And he started down, and he would slide for a little while, and there he made a fall on his rope. And then he'd slide for a little while, and he made a fall on his rope. Well, he got about 700 or 800 feet down, and I'm talking about 3,500, 4,000 feet in the air. And it occurred to him, he asked himself, I'm not really sure which rope I grabbed today. I had a rope that I had I've used up most of its falls. And he got a little worried about this thing. He's thinking, is this my new rope or is this my used rope? And you can all see why. They can only stand so many falls. And so he's hanging there for a second and he says to himself, well, really doesn't matter which rope this is. I can't go up. I'm going to have to keep going down. And so he pushes himself off, and he begins to slide, and bang, another fall. And he goes, well, he didn't do that. He held on. But but he's hanging out there, and he says to himself, well, I know I got to go down. So he pushes himself off. He begins to slide, and bang. And believe it or not, his rope snapped. Now he knows which rope it was. He had picked up that rope that he had used up. So here he is. He's falling. And he comes down, and there just happens to be a branch sticking out the side of that mountain. So, and he stops. And boy, he's just, he's hung up on that branch, and he finally figures out a way. And just like in a cartoon, you've seen those cartoons where they're falling and that branch is just conveniently right there. It's like the Roadrunner. I know the Bible, brother. But he falls and he's on that branch and he finally gets himself to where he can set on that branch and now his rope is broken and he looks down and it doesn't look promising. He looks up and it doesn't look promising and he thinks to himself, wrong rope. Now what's he going to do? Well, he's there and he thinks, well, I wonder, you know, there was another guy that was rappelling out here. I wonder by chance if he could be up there somewhere. So he yells up and he says, hey, up there, you throw me a rope. He didn't hear anything. He says, hey, can anybody up there hear me? I need a rope. And all of a sudden, guy sticks his head over and looks down. This guy looks up and he's pretty excited. He looks up and says, hey, throw me a rope. And the guy said, you stuck down there? Throw me a rope. And the guy says, yeah, you're a dope. What are you doing stuck down there? And the guy said, hey, will you just throw me a rope? And being a good Christian man, this guy up on top spits to see if he could hit him. Obviously a teenager at the top. But he says, hey, could you throw me a rope? And finally, the guy at the top, he throws him a rope. He sees it coming. It stops. And on the end of that rope is a sign. The sign said, you grab a hold of one end, I'll grab a hold of the other end, but then I'm going to let go. He says, hey, that's not funny. I'm stuck down here. And about that time, you hear another rope coming. It stops. It too has a sign on it. This sign reads, you grab a hold of one end, I'll grab a hold of the other end. And he thinks, that's better. That first one said, you grab one end, I'll grab the other end, then I'm going to let go. This one says, you grab one end, I'll grab the other end. And he thinks, that sounds like a pretty good rope to grab. So he starts to reach for it, and he hears another rope coming. Y'all ready? I gotta breathe. And the third rope drops. And on the end of the third rope is another sign. He's almost got a hold of rope two. But he stops and he glances over. And rope three, there's a sign on the end of it that says, you grab a hold of one end, I'll grab a hold of the other end, then I'll pull you up. Now, up until that moment, rope two was looking pretty good. But remember, rope two just said, you grab one end, I'll grab the other end. And rope one never was inviting. You grab one end, I'll grab the other end, then I'm going to let go. Now, folks, those three ropes, to some degree, describe the people in this room today. And your Christianity. Which rope is the rope that you would be on? Stay with me, if you will. Let me describe the ropes. Rope number one. You grab one end. I'll grab the other end. Then I'm going to let go. That's what the world will do to you. Just so you know, the world does not love you. The world's out to get what it can out of you. Jesus loves you. God loves you. The Bible says that you and I, as Christians, and so you know, if you're a born-again Christian, this sermon's going to make a lot of sense to you. If you're not, I would be glad, or we would be glad at the end of the service, to explain a little more to you, but getting saved makes all the difference in the world in understanding the concepts of the Christian life. But folks, born-again Christians, the Bible says, we're not to be like the world, and the world does not love us. In 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. And I have to tell you something, folks. This world is out to take us for what it can get out of us. The world is kind of a dog-eat-dog kind of a world. And if you grab a hold of the rope of the world, and so you know, we're all kind of out on a limb. We all are. And we need help. We need to make it through this life. And obviously, if you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. But even as a Christian, we've got to grab the right rope so we can move back toward where safety is in life. And let me say to you, where it said, you grab one end, I'll grab the other end, then I'll let go. That's exactly what Hollywood would do to you. Hollywood, you say, well, I'm just patterning my life after Hollywood. Well, Hollywood throws you the rope that says, you grab one end, we'll grab the other end, but we're going to let you go and you're going to take a fall. That's exactly what liquor will do to you. In the end, liquor says to you, well, you grab one end, I'll grab another end. But I'll tell you what will happen. You'll end up messing up your life, and you'll end up ruining your body and your health and your marriage. You'll end up ruining your thinking processes. You'll end up raising your insurance rates sky high. Hey, the liquor traffic says, you grab one end, we'll grab another end. But I'll promise you, they say, when we're done with you, we're done. We'll let go, and we don't care anymore. And that's how Hollywood is. That's how bad friends will do you. The wrong kind of friendships, you grab one end, they grab the other end, and when they're done with you, and when they're all finished, they're going to let go of the rope, and you're going to crash to the ground. Some of you have already been through that. You've already found those friends that, hey, well, you got some money, let's party, and let's get high, and let's get drunk, and we're going to go have a good time. But I'll tell you, when the money's gone, and when the bright lights are turned off, they'll let you go, and they'll let you crash to the world. Hey, that's what drugs will do to you. The misuse of even your prescription drugs, where you go out and getting high, whether you're smoking dope or tooting cocaine or whatever it is you're doing, let me warn you of something. The drug culture, they'll throw you a rope. Say, I'm lonely, I need somebody to throw me a rope. They'll throw you a rope. And you can grab one end, and they'll hold on to the other end for a little while, but there's coming a moment when the drug culture is going to let go of their end of the rope, and you are going to crash, and you're going to ruin your life, and you're going to ruin your health, and you're going to ruin your marriage, and you're going to ruin your kids, and you're going to ruin your relationships, because they'll throw you a rope, and they'll hang on for a little while, but they're not going to keep hanging on. That's what immorality will do to you. That's what the sodomy crowd will do to you. You're going to find out. You grab one end, they'll grab the other end, but there's coming a day when they're going to let go and you're going to crash.
You see, this world wants to get you high and then drop you. This world wants to get what it can out of you, and then it's going to let you go. This world does not love you. Hey, they'll use you and they'll abuse you. And let me tell you why. Because they're motivated and led by the devil. The devil is not interested in you and I as Christians. He's not interested in our purity. He's not interested in our spiritual success. And he'll come to you, and folks, time and time again, the old world will throw out that rope, and you'll say, you know what? This looks like the answer. I'll get drunk. That'll solve it. I'll get high. That'll solve it. I'll commit immorality. That'll solve it. I'll steal. I'll lie. I'll cheat. I'll get into pornography. That'll solve it. It won't solve it. And anybody here that's been at it any time at all, you grab the wrong rope, and all of a sudden you find yourself falling, and you hit the ground, and you say, I picked the wrong rope. I turned to the wrong thing to get myself up and back to where I need to be. You grab one end, I'll grab the other end, then I'll let go. James chapter 1 verse 15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Numbers chapter 32 verse 24 says, and be sure your sin will find you out. There's nothing the devil would want more than a Christian to grab the world's rope so he can take you high and destroy you by letting go. And I'll tell you, he is very good at what he does. I mean, some of you know, part of your life got destroyed by grabbing the wrong rope in the earlier part of your life. Earlier in life, years ago, you grabbed the wrong rope and you thought, boy, hey, I'm flying high. You had no idea. The person on the other end of the rope didn't love you, didn't care about you, and they let go. And by the way, the devil lets go on purpose. He doesn't love you and he wants to destroy you. There's nothing that the devil, and by the way, I might also throw this in here. It's not just getting you to grab the wrong rope, it's keeping you off the right rope. Keeping you off the right rope. And when was the last time that you seen some hardcore rock and roller healing the wounds of a Christian that was drawn away because of their lyrics or their music? Hey, have you heard of Lady Gaga helping someone who she destroyed through her weird antics and the lyrics that are just as nasty as could be? You ever heard of her running to their aid after she's messed their life up through her influence and saying, let me help you? No, she's not going to help. Why? You grab one end, she'll grab the other end. You'll party for a little while. She's letting go and moving on, and you're crashing to the ground. When was the last time you heard it that somebody like Charlie Sheen has gotten credit for showing up and helping someone whose life? Hey, how about the man or the woman whose marriage is destroyed because they thought it was cute that Charlie Sheen was such a fornicating adulterer, and it was an entertainment, so they were going to live their life that way to pattern themselves after the Hollywood movie star? Hey, when was the last time you heard of him paying so somebody could get marital counsel to straighten their marriage out after following his example? Doesn't happen. He says, you grab one end, I'll grab the other. You make me famous. You make me money. You make me somebody. I'll hold one end of the rope and you hold the other end. But when I'm done with you, you're trash. That's what Hollywood does to you. That's what wrong music does to you. Hey, when was the last time you seen a bartender show up after there's been a drunk driving accident and somebody is dead? When was the last time you watched one of them show up and put flowers on the grave? Hey, when was the last time you seen a bartender show up and support a mama and three kids because the bartender was shoving liquor at some man all night long, and he gets drunk, he goes out and he crashes his car? Does the bartender show up to help support that widow and those kids? No. No, they do not. Why? They will take you high, they will grab a hold of one end of the rope and let you hang on to the other end of the rope, and when they're done with you, they will drop you. And there's some of you, you need to understand, the devil will use you and abuse you, and you better stop and realize something. Hey, young people, you better watch what you do with your body. You better watch who you go around giving yourself to. There are some of you, you're going to give yourself in an immoral way to some other teenage boy or some teenage girl, and you're going to regret it because they'll take you for everything you're worth. They'll ruin your emotions. They'll ruin your body. They'll ruin your marriage. They'll ruin you, and then they're going to drop you and let you crash to the ground, and they don't care. You get involved with the internet and certain wrong things on the internet. You think, well, the answer is I'm gonna get into this pornography, or I'm gonna get into, and there's some awful filthy blogging and things like that that goes on there. That's the answer. Somebody's gonna take you for everything you're worth and then drop you, and you're gonna crash to the ground. You grab a hold of one end. I'll grab a hold of the other end. But what happens? They let go. Drug dealers don't help support the families of the men or women that OD and die. They don't come around and say, we made all sorts of money off your husband or wife while they were buying our drugs, and we feel like we ought to insure you now that your husband or wife is dead because of our drugs. They don't care. They're never going to show up again. They're going to deny they had anything to do with it. You say, well, Brother Owens, the way I'm living, I'm involved in some of those things, and really nothing bad's happened to me yet. Yet. And by the way, more bad is happening to you than what you even realize. Now, God doesn't always pay on Friday, but God always pays. First sign. You grab a hold of one end. I'll grab a hold of the other end. But then I'm going to let go. That's what the world will do to you. Rope number two. You grab a hold of one end, I'll grab a hold of the other end. So you know, this is where most Christians spend their life. He's going to grab a hold of one end, I'll grab a hold of the other end. But wait a minute. We're not going anywhere. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21 tells about Elijah. He was on Mount Carmel, and there was a kind of a showdown between Jehovah God and Baal. And Elijah makes this statement, how long halt you between two opinions? You see, wonder if I grab the second rope. I'm not moving up. I'm not moving down. I'm just hanging around. There are Christians in this room. This is you. You're not increasing what you do for God, and you're not doing any less. You're just hanging around. You see, increasing what you do for God is growth. If you're alive, you're to grow. You just hang around. You don't want to be spiritual, but you're willing to hang around spiritual things. You're just hanging there. That's all you do. You just come to church. That's it. If we can even get you to be faithful to that. This is you. Oh. Sure, nice day. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Hey, you know what? Some of you have friends that are just like that. So you're hanging here. And they're hanging here. Hey, you all right? Yeah, you're all right too. You hanging in there? Yeah, that's funny. I'm hanging in there. Do you do what the preacher preaches? Oh, I love to hear him. Do you obey it? I love to hear him. He got quite the personality, doesn't he? Yeah, personality. I love to hear him. You like that new building? Yeah. It's nice. I sat in it. You do what the Bible tells you when you read it? Well, I do read it some. You obey the Sunday school lesson? You obey the Sunday night church sermon? You obey what's taught in Youth Ablaze? No, but I was there. Oh, yeah. That's what a bunch of you are. You're just hanging there. You hang around the church. You hang around the Bible. You hang around things of God. You wouldn't go to a church if they weren't seeing people saved. You never have anybody saved. I want a preacher that's not afraid to get up there and call the roll. I want a preacher that can shuck the corn. I want a preacher that can get up and preach that's not afraid. He's determined. He's going to get something done. I want a church that's going forward. I want a church that's going to have revival. I want a church where everybody's fired up. I'm going to go hang around. Are you obeying the Bible you know to obey? Do you come just to get entertained? Are you spiritual? Or do you just have an image of spirituality? Here's the real question. How long do you think you can just hang? Can I tell you something about my arms right now? They're aching all the way down my back. It's blurring my vision. When I see you have blurred vision spiritually, you can't see right spiritually because all you do is hang around. Sooner or later, I'll lose my grip. You think I'm going to fall up? Which way am I going? Might as well grab and hold the first rope, huh? God intended for you to get out of the world, but not just to hang around spiritual things, but to participate, to become a part of. You just hang around the church and hang around God's people and hang around the revival. And you say, well, I've been in church all my life and I've heard stuff like this before. Yeah, and you are just so good at hanging. And that's sad if you say, well, I've heard things like this before. You know what's really sad about that? You've heard it and it doesn't even bother you that it's being preached to you again. That really, all you do is just barely sustain. And I'm going to tell you why you do have a lot of people in church. They come and they're there for a while, and then you just don't see them anymore. What do? They go back to the world's rope, and it's going to tear them to shreds. But instead of moving up, they decided just to hang around. How long can you hang on? If you don't start growing, if you don't start moving up, you will fall. You know, there's a basic number of things we will teach our children. But did you know that God intended for your child to learn that basic number of things and then add to it and go on in life and succeed? And God is our Father, and He expects us to go on in the Christian life and succeed. Rope number one. The sign. You grab a hold of one end, I'll grab a hold of the other, then I'm going to let you go. That's what the world will do to you. Sign number two, rope number two. The sign on the end, you grab a hold of one end, I'll grab a hold of the other end. And that's where the mass of Christians are today. They're just hanging there. You're no better Christian than what you've been, and some of you are backslidden. You're worse Christian than what you used to be. But you're not increasing your attendance at church, and you're not increasing your concern for the lost souls of men, and you're not increasing you're living the Bible. You think you're a finished product? Well, you're not. If you're a finished product, one of two things would happen. You'd either be Jesus, or God would take you to heaven. You're to be growing. Wait a minute. There's a third rope. You remember it. And there's sign number three. You grab a hold of one end, I'll grab a hold of the other end, and I'll pull you up. I'll pull you up. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's the right rope. That's the right rope. And let me tell you, who's on the top of the mountain that's got a hold of the other end? That's Jesus Christ. Jesus has a hold of that other end. And Jesus said, you grab hold and I will help you, Christian, so you can move up in the Christian life. I can help you to succeed. You grab a hold of that rope. And let me tell you all something. There are people in here, you need to move up in your Bible reading. There are people in this room right now, all you do is hang. And you say, what do you mean by that? You have a Bible, and what you do is you try to find it on Sunday morning, if you can, so you can carry it into church, because you know you need to be toting your Bible around. But can I tell you something? You should not just try to find it in time for church. You ought to have that Bible out and read it. You ought to read it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And I'm not saying you got to read it for 4 hours a day. God would appreciate if you would just take a little bit of time and read your Bible. Some of you, you need to read your Bible. You need to move up in your Bible reading. There's people in here. Your prayer life. We're lucky if you can, if you'll even pray over your meals. But I've got news for you. There's more to prayer than just praying over your meals. You feel like you prayed because we took an offering earlier and one of our men prayed over the offering. You say, oh, well, I've been to church. I'm a praying person. No, all you did was listen to somebody else pray. And you ought to be praying and have a time of prayer in your life and spending time. You need to move up in your prayer life and move up in your Bible reading. Don't just hang there. There's some of you, it's time to grow. It's time to get serious. It's time to decide, I'm going to grow in my Bible reading. I'm going to grow in my prayer life. There are people in here, you know you ought to be telling others about Jesus. I'm going to tell you why some of you are going to get in trouble at work. You're going to get in trouble at work because you never tell the people around you you're born again Christian. You never tell them about Jesus. You never tell them about salvation. Now, I am not for you going to work and spending a bunch of time talking religion on your boss's nickel. You go to work and you work hard, but there's time before work and at lunch and on a coffee break and after work where you could be telling people about being born again and being saved. But if you don't take a stand at work and let people know who you are and what you are, before long you'll be sucked into all the rest of the immorality and the drunkenness and the drugs and the cheating and all the trash that goes on at work. You need to move up. Move up and tell somebody about Jesus. There are people in here, you know you ought to tell others about Jesus. You understand the term soul winning, but you never do anything about it. Now you like it, and you would say, yeah, I was raised that way. Oh, I know all about it. Well, good for you. But God didn't tell you about it so you could just hang there. You're just so spiritually educated. You just know so much. And then look, if you know so much, and if you're so spiritually high and mighty, why do you just hang there? Why aren't you doing something about it? Why do you grab the rope and just hang? God doesn't need a bunch of Christians just hanging around. God needs some Christians that said, I'm going to get something done. I'm going somewhere with my life. I'm going to grow. I want to move up. I want to climb the mountain to success and victory in my life. There's some of you, you need to learn how to praise God even when you're going through the tough times. You're good at praising God when it's going well. But you face a challenge and suddenly you're mad at God and you're questioning God. Look, God's good all the time. Amen. God's good all the time. It's time for some of you to move up in your church attendance. If you wake up on Sunday morning and say, well, I don't know. We going to go? My family's never heard that. They've never heard that. We are going to church. By the way, we've never debated it on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. If they're having church at our church, we went. It was never debated. It's never negotiable. And I'm here to tell you, it's time for some of you to grow. You're just hanging around. Just hanging around. Obedience to the Bible. You need to grow. Don't just hang around the prospect of obedience. Obey. In our giving, you need to give and you need to do what God says about the tithe. In your loyalties to God. Hey, you just don't just hang around. My question is, how long do you really think you're going to last? You will wear down, and some of you, you're wore down, you're pretty backslidden already. You'd like everyone to believe you're a pretty good Christian. But your lack of service to God and your faithfulness to God is evident. You're not as good a Christian as what you think. Don't just hang there. Move. Move, Christian. Move up. Move up. Decide to go up. And so, you know, talk is cheap. Now, I've heard all the big talk. Well, I'll tell you what I used to do. I don't care what you used to do. See, preacher, I want you impressed. Let me see what you're going to do this week. Serve God. Don't just come to church. Now, I'm glad you come to church. But some of you, if you think you're serving God right now, you're setting. You pretty wore out? Now, some of you emotionally will, because it's hard. The reality of the truth is a little tough on you. But setting in a service where there's air conditioning, that's not called work. Get excited. Get involved. Serve God. It's almost unheard of that anybody or churches want to have revival anymore. I was talking to one of our good ladies, and we were talking about a membership drive. We're always on a membership drive. Church said, well, we're going to have revival 1 week this year. We're going to have revival 52 weeks this year. We may intensify it during the fall and have a fall program or a spring program, but I'm out to get people saved 52 weeks a year. I want to be excited about God 52 weeks a year. What is that? That's moving up. That's grabbing the right rope. Become productive for God. I'll tell you what some of you do. You're a swinger. You'll hang for a little while. Then you grab this rope. Well, I'll be faithful to church for a little while. Then once it costs you something, I'm back over here. I'm just going to hang. Here's what some of you have done. Now you act like the world. You listen to the world's music. You behave like the world. You're saved. You better get back to the right rope. You're backslidden. You're away from God. Some of you just never tell for sure. You know what God needs? God needs some Christians that consistently love Him, serve Him, and they've decided to grow. Swinging from rope to rope. Three ropes. You grab one end. I'll grab the other end. I'm going to let you go. That's what the world will do to you. The second rope. You grab one end, I'll grab the other. And then you just hang there. Are you saved? Oh, yes. You're saved. You like being around spiritual things? Oh, yes. Are you doing anything for God? Oh, no. Not really. I just hang around it. The third rope is that you let Jesus get a hold of you. And you, through obedience to Him, you start moving up. You start moving toward Christ. You let Him pull you up into a successful Christian life. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're not saved, you have nothing to do with saving yourself. God does all the saving. You just ask Him to save you. He'll come into your heart and He will save you. That's what salvation is. The three ropes, those are for born-again Christians. They're either living in and like the world, or they're hanging around spiritual things, but they're not really dedicated, sold out, and spiritual, or they're growing and moving forward and accomplishing something with the life that God gave them. That's the Christian life. Hey, you have to understand, though, if you're not saved, there's only two choices. Get saved and go to heaven, or don't get saved and die and go to hell. Now, and so you know, once you get saved, Jesus will never, he'll never drop you. There are no rope burns on the hands of Jesus. There are nail prints. And He's never lost one that He saved. Never one. But ask yourself this question. Which rope? Are you the one that swings? Right now you say, I'm fired up for God right now. Yeah, but what was it like last week? Or what was it like last month? Or what will it be next month? Next month. Stabilize, Christian. Stabilize and grow. Put yourself where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do, and get something done with your life for God. Don't get the idea. God didn't leave you here because He didn't have anything else to do with His time or yours. He left you here to get something done for Him. Grab the right rope. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart,
and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I feel terrible for some of you because you've been swinging on the world's rope. If the world's not let you go to crash, it will eventually. And the real world's taken some of you to the cleaners. Your heart's, your life's messed up. Your relationships are messed up. Might I recommend to you that some of you need to change ropes. That's what you need to do. But I feel terrible for some of you. Those of you that just hang around, you say, well, preacher, you just don't want me to hang around. No, you hang around because I get to preach sermons like this to you. I don't want you to come up missing. I want you to grow. Don't run. Don't hide. Don't pout. Don't be a baby. But grow. Decide, you know what, I'm moving up. I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm going to be a participator. I'm not going to watch. I'm going to get in there. I want to be a part. And then do what it takes to become a part. You grow. You say, if I got to change something about me to make myself qualified to get involved in one way or another, I'm doing it. Because I've got to stop just hanging around spiritual things. And some of you spent your life just hanging around spiritual things. Get spiritual. You do something for God. Who here today would say, preacher, if I died today, I don't even know if I'd go to heaven. I don't know. I'm not saved. I need to be born again. Would you pray for me, preacher? I'm not saved. I need to be born again. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not saved. I know it. I need to be born again. God bless you. Here's what's going to happen in a moment. To the one that raised their hand, we're going to take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Hey, Christian, those of you that are born again and you know it, would you say, today, God has spoken to my heart? JV, no, forward, not backward. Who here as a Christian would say, God spoke to my heart about these ropes, and I see exactly where this thing's at in my life, and God has spoken to me. Would you raise your hand and say, God spoke to me about some of it? Now, some of you need to do something about it. Well, keep your hand up for a second. Put it up nice and high and just hold it there. I could have us just hold it there for about 4 or 5 minutes. And you begin to feel the stress. Stop just hanging. Get in. Do something with your life for God. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you've been saved and we've not helped you to make it public yet, you come. If you say, I just need a moment with Jesus at the altar. I've been hanging around things, but I'm not really committed and I'm not getting anything really done personally in my life for Christ. Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, I'm getting in and I'm going to do something. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a Christian and you don't feel like you're on the right rope, you don't feel like you're getting something done for God or for Christ, you come and pray. Come tell the Lord, you know, I need to get some things straightened out. Some of you that are on the world's rope, you're going to crash. But then there are people in here, you just hang around. You just hang around. Some of you used to be more productive for Jesus, but not anymore. Not anymore. Mrs. Owens, could you help me? Would you go ahead and get Amanda's name on a decision slip again? We've already got it, but I need it again for baptism. just continue to play Mrs. Young, if you will. It'll be just a few more minutes. We have people that are getting saved. We have people that are making decisions. It won't take long, I promise. Take your seat again. Let him have a seat right there, JV. You know, I remember back in churches where they had altar calls. I remember back in churches where it took a while. You might have to sing 8 or 10 verses of the invitational song because people were being dealt with and people were getting saved. Now, if you have one, people are almost offended and they're worried about getting to McDonald's to get their lunch more than they are about somebody getting born again. You say, how'd you know I was going to McDonald's? Because you're with the rest of us poor people. We can't go have steak. We're having a hamburger for lunch. Thank you, Mrs. Young. Folks, you can have a seat.